Whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like me, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. That's why I'm excited that Unified Healing is sponsoring this podcast. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE System, you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. At hundreds of locations across the globe, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE System technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/bluewire to learn more and find a center near you. That's unifiedhealing.com/bluewire. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE System.
Oh, another super chat from Tyler. Thank you very, very much. He goes, I know I'm late, but my goodness, Young's tape is amazing. He's going to be a problem. Great instincts. I'm sold on him.
I think the thing that Tyler says that makes sense, that I love too, is it's oh, he's not physical, and oh, the speed. Great instincts. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's the ultimate thing, because Vince, you and I have seen guys that aren't great athletes necessarily, aren't huge. Be real. Kyren Williams is
a 4'5" that came to my mind. Yeah.
He's not the biggest guy, but he had great instincts. Mm-hmm. And if you have that and you've got some competitiveness to him, like Kyren is an ultimate competitor. You're going to be successful in college, and Kedron is that. Plus he's got better measurables.
Yeah.
So I like that. That's the thing you pointed out, Tyler, is the instincts there are really impressive.
Thanks, Tyler, for the super
chat. And thanks for the super chat, my man. Appreciate you. I haven't seen you in a while, Tyler. I haven't seen you chat in a while, so I'm glad to see you still on the show, and thanks for the question. Appreciate that.
Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk, but it's draft season, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft, but Greg doesn't have The Athletic. So now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink, which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get The Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences, so the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
David says, Brian, what tier would you put Hartman in for quarterbacks this year?
So somebody said that there's a The Athletic did something, and Sam Hartman's a tier four. I know ESPN had him in tier four. There's some silliness. 247 just released a top rankings of quarterbacks, and they have Tanner Mordecai from Wisconsin ahead of him, and then Austin Reed from Kentucky. They have Grayson McCall from Coastal Carolina all ahead of Sam Hartman. That's just stupid.
See, I saw 247 on Twitter that had him as the number five quarterback, which I think that's – at least that's arguable.
Yeah.
Because he's behind Williams.
This is one guy. This is more for the NFL draft.
Oh, gotcha.
So how you're going to have Grayson McCall. Look, all right, can we just be real about something here real quick? First of all, it's 247, so it's so just, I mean, borderline not worth my time, but I'm going to do it anyway because it's a mailbag and you asked it. Grayson McCall was a member of the 2019 recruiting class. That means he's going to be a sixth-year senior this year. If Grayson McCall was anywhere close to being the fourth-best quarterback prospect in a draft class, he wouldn't be going to his sixth freaking year.
That's fair.
Right? And you're definitely not going to have him ahead of Sam Hartman. Now, Sam Hartman's in the same boat. If Sam Hartman was going to be a first-round pick next year, like one of the questions we had down here was, if Sam Hartman wins the Heisman, could he go number one overall? No, because the measurables don't change.
Right.
Right. He's not going to all of a sudden be 6'3". He's not going to all of a sudden be dynamic athletically. He's not going to all of a sudden have a rocket for arm. Now, I think he could go up recruiting boards more than some people do. I actually think Sam Hartman could skyrocket up draft boards if he goes out and wins a Heisman and leads Notre Dame to a championship or championship game, because I think that some of the questions people have, you know, the system and all, it's, well, he's not that big. I get he's not that big, but there's several court. I mean, he's bigger than Bryce Young. He's not that much smaller than C.J. Stroud, if we're being real about it. You know, he's smaller, but it's not like C.J. Stroud's 6'5", 240.
Right.
You know, it's not like C.J. Stroud's built like Anthony Richardson or Will Levis, right? So, I mean, going number one pick, no, he's not going to do that. I mean, he could go out there and completely outplay Caleb Williams. Like completely
it's not
outplay.
Not going to matter.
And it won't matter because Caleb Williams has far better measurables.
Correct.
The upside is higher.
Could he go in the first round? Depending on how things go.
Look, if Will Levis can be a high second round pick, then Sam Hartman can be a high second round pick. So Will Levis is garbage.
Well,
I mean,
the caveat here though is if Sam Hartman wins the Heisman,
he's
going to head up the draft boards because of that.
And it means he had some monster games against some really good teams. And that's the thing for me that's going to answer some questions. But look, I'm not an NFL draft expert at all. We're fans of the NFL draft, we're not experts.
Right.
But if Will Levis can be a high second round draft pick, as bad as he was, then I'm sorry, I'm not going to buy the notion that if Sam Hartman throws for 4,000 yards and leads Notre Dame to a national championship game and is even a finalist for the Heisman Trophy, that he can't skyrocket up boards. I mean, and because it would mean he also has, you know, 3 healthy years. The one injury that he had was not football related. It was a health issue, not an injury even. So even using the word injury doesn't even make sense. It was a health issue. So yeah, is he going to go first overall? No, but could he be a big time quarterback and a potential Heisman guy? Sure. I mean, I'll say it again, Vince. Ian Book finished in the top 10 in a year he threw 15 touchdown passes.
Always my go-to when it comes to this kind of stuff. You know? I'm sorry, it just is. Just Notre Dame just hasn't had a dynamic quarterback in so long that it's become a moot point as far as a Heisman Trophy and all of that stuff. It just is. As far as tier, it depends on how you do it, right? It depends on how you do your tiers. Personally, I think he's tier 2.
Right. Because tier 1's Caleb Williams and Drake May.
100%.
Right? And then he's in that tier 2 with Michael Penix and Bo Nix and Jordan Travis.
Yes. For me. That's where he is.
And
that's
maybe Jaden Daniels. Maybe.
Yep.
You know, I still need to see more from Jaden Daniels before I can put him in those categories. But with Jordan Travis and Bo Nix and Michael Penix, yeah, he's in that category.
Absolutely.
And anyone that says he's not, it's out of their – people act like he's coming from the Conference USA. That's the hilarious thing. Like, well, we'll see what he does with – like, half the teams he's going to play this year, he played at freaking Wake Forest.
Right.
Like, what are we doing here? He didn't transfer from North Dakota State. He didn't transfer from, like, Sam Houston. He transferred from freaking Wake Forest. They played in the ACC title game 2 years ago. You know, he's 2-0 against Jordan Travis. He's 3-0 against Florida State as a starter. Like, what are we doing here? You know,
and a starter at Wake Forest. Like, it's it's just comedy.
Some of this is just silly. Some of it's just silly. It really is just silly.
Jay says, I want to know, I know it's early, but what does the 25 running back board look like, and is there a dude?
Well, there are several dudes. I mean, so first of all, Jay, just in full disclosure, I have not watched all the 25 kids that they've offered. It's just they've offered so many, and I don't have enough time in the day. But they've offered over 10 kids, 12, 13 kids already. I've seen Gideon Davidson from Virginia. He's very good. Jordan Davidson from Modern Day, who I don't think they're going to get. He's very good. Usmane Chroma from Georgia, really good player. One of the kids they offered is a kid named Anthony Rogers. He just committed to Alabama. So we'll have to, I'm going to actually update that now. So you're doing live updates right in the middle of the show, Vince, because I normally Ryan updates these, but he's still on paternity leave. So still he's not in the
new baby.
Yeah. So I mean, there's some good players on the board. There's some really talented players on the board. It's a really good running back class from what I've seen of who I've seen. And but as far as who their top guys are, it's a little too early to tell. I think one guy for sure that I feel comfortable saying is a top target for Notre Dame is Gideon Davidson, because of when they offered him and the fact that they've been out to see him. I think that matters. They've been down to see Torrey Blaylock. I think the other part to consider that I don't know that I have the huddle, that I have the answer for the huddle for. I'm typing in huddle into the thing. The thing I don't know that I have the answer for right now, Vince, is I don't know if I know what type of back they're looking for in the 25 class. Like I don't know if they're looking for a shifty change of pace guy.
Right.
I don't know if they're looking for another, you know, pure back. I don't really know what they're looking for. And so that's kind of part of the issue for me is, you know, without knowing that, like, I don't, it makes it harder for me to know what exactly they're looking for. So that's my question. And I know a guy that I know that they're high on too. And I haven't watched much of his film yet, because again, it's 25 and it's really early, but there's a kid out of Louisiana that I know the staff likes a lot. Like a lot, can name James Simon. And again, you follow the actions, right? Who did they get out and see this year when they were out looking at 24 kids and trying to close on the 24 kids? Who'd they go out and see? Well, they went out and saw Ozme and Chroma. They went out and saw him. They went out and saw James Simon. They went out and saw Gideon Davidson. They went down and saw Torrey Blaylock. They went out to Maryland and saw Carlton Smith. Like, right, those are guys they went out and saw. I think. So, and I know that James Simon is a guy that I think they're pretty high on. Gideon Davidson, Osmain is a guy. So those are some early names, but as far as where they stand with those kids, it's too early to tell, to be honest with you, at that particular position. I think part of it too was they didn't really know what they were going to do until they figured out who their number two running back in this year's class was going to be.
Sure. It makes a difference.
So I think now that that's in there, then you're ready to go.
Terry Guillory, what past quarterback in history does CJ seem the most like?
Well, the comp I gave for him is Joe Burrow. And here's why. Again, I'm not predicting he's going to have Joe Burrow numbers. But here's the things I see. Similar body type, 6'3", you know, 190-ish, 195 coming out of high school, be probably 200 pounds. I think CJ will end up being 210, 215 when it's all said and done. I don't know if he'll be quite as thick as Joe, but Joe's not a real huge guy. He's not like Josh Allen or anything like that. Joe has a really good arm, but not an elite, you know, Josh Allen, Patrick Mahomes type of arm strength. CJ's the same way. CJ has a strong arm. He doesn't have Dylan Raiola's arm strength, but he has elite arm talent. He's a guy that can change arm angles. He's very accurate. He's got great ball placement, which is very similar to what made Joe Burrow so good. He's a great decision maker. He processes information really quickly, like Joe Burrow. And the other part of his game that gets underrated, that I think was a very underrated part of Joe Burrow's game at LSU, is he's really dynamic with his legs in a non-running manner. You know what I mean, Vince? Like, so CJ's not going to go out there and run for 700, 800 yards. He uses his athleticism to break tackles and spin around and buy time and then throw the ball down the field.
Right, right. I think CJ's his eyes down the field, yes, and the whole thing, yeah.
Easy five-star player. So skill set, again, I'm not saying he's going to be the number one overall pick. I'm not saying he's going to put up 5,000 yards passing and 60 touchdowns like Joe Burrow did. I'm just saying the skill set that I see most when I look at CJ Carr is Joe Burrow. Do you have a strong disagreement with that, Vince?
No, I trust your comp. You're so much better at comps than I am because you have so many more players in your head. But I, from a physical standpoint, from what I've seen of Joe Burrow,
yeah,
absolutely, the traits fit absolutely. From a college, I'm talking college,
yeah,
Joe Burrow, and you know, coming out of high school.
And again, not saying Heisman Trophy record setting. It just style of play is there. That's what I see.
Sam Hartman for Heisman. I am confused on Kedren not being a consensus top 10 running back. What is he missing in your opinion? I thought I saw he was like the eighth running back in somebody's rankings.
It's only that's on three.
Okay, not consensus, but like, obviously.
No, no. And some of these rankings, like I've said, this year is it gets worse and worse and worse every year. But so you look at Kedron Young, on three has him as the number 82 player in the country and the number eight running back. Rivals has him at number 213 and number 16 running back. And then ESPN doesn't even have him in their top 300. And 247 don't have him there. And they neither one of them have him in this top 50 in the state of Texas. They have him as number 22 and 25 running back. If there are 21 or 24 running backs better than Kedron Young, this is one of the greatest running back classes in the history of high school football. And I always use that, but it gets the point across. I even think Rivals having 15 guys ahead of him is a little nutty, because I've seen a lot of the running backs this year, and I don't think that there's 15 guys ahead of him. I'm still trying to find more than five or six, and that's just because I haven't watched everybody yet. But he's a top 100 back for me. I can't tell you what other people are not seeing about him. I have no idea. Because if I saw what they saw, I'd have him ranked lower.
Right, exactly.
So I have no clue what they're not seeing. I mean, to me, it can't be speed. It can't be production. It can't be athleticism. I don't know what he's missing. So there's sometimes you look like Isaiah Kenyon. I have him as a top 100 player. I get why some may not. He played quarterback. He's played DB. But he's not a pure receiver. Okay, I get it. Now, having him as a three-star, that's stupid. But I can understand somebody not having him in the top 100 like I have him in the top 100. This one I don't get. I can understand why some people aren't as high on Bryce Young. I'm actually don't have Bryce Young ranked as high as some of the services do, because I see a lot of rawness. I see what they see. I know why they have him ranked higher, because they don't have the two-tier system like I have, which allows me to say right now he's here, but he could end up being here. I have no clue. No clue what they're looking at when they see Kedron Young and don't view him as a top, at least top 150. Like, if you want, like, the floor to me would be where Rivals has him. But the fact that he's ranked second highest by Rivals, I don't get it.
Yeah.
I don't get it. I didn't know, and I don't know what it comes down to, because I felt the same way about Jadarian Price. I don't know what they were missing. And then, of course, he comes here, and I've got Notre Dame coaches at the time telling me, dude, he was our best running back in the spring. I mean, Vince, you and I talked about this.
Oh, yeah.
He was their best running back in the spring. And Audric was healthy, Tyree was healthy, and Diggs was healthy. He just was better than all of them. You know, that kid wasn't even a top 150 back, barely top 200 back by some people. I don't know, man. Sometimes you can see it and explain it. Like, why on three has CJ Carr at 193? What could it be? I have no clue. No clue. I have no clue what somebody might see, Vince. Do you?
His last name is not Manning. That's it. That.
I guess.
Name recognition. But his last name is Carr. So I don't, you know.
I don't know. Yeah, it doesn't make sense to me, man. It really, it doesn't make a lot of sense to me. But that is what it is. I'm going to read this one, Vince, because I want you to answer it. This is from Adam Shipley. He says, can you explain your view on 40 speed versus football and football speed? Kyron Williams ran slower 40, but also always looked fast in the field. Do you think it shows up on high school film?
Number one, I do think it shows up on high school film to a degree. You also have to understand who they're playing against, the competition, that kind of a thing. But there's lines on the field, so you can see how fast a guy is going, not necessarily who he's running against, right? So there is a bit of – I got a buddy who, is my son's track coach. He's been my friend for a really long time, and we talk about playing time and all that. So he's like – he goes, the only thing I care about is what's on the clock. Right. What does the stopwatch say? He's like, that's my favorite thing. And he's absolutely right. When I'm watching a kid run on a football field, I can tell whether he's fast or not based on how fast he goes past the lines that are painted on the field. Right.
Mm-hmm.
But there is a competition standpoint, and I totally get all that. So that's that part. The difference, in my opinion, between 40 speed and football speed is exactly what we talked about earlier when we're talking about acceleration and we're talking about how fast can you get from 0 to 60, in car terms, right? How fast can you go and get to your top speed? Can you get there faster than another guy? And you talked about top speed of a wide receiver. It can take longer for a wide receiver to get to a top speed, and that's okay. What I want from my running back, and if you want to call that football speed, that's fine. You can call it sprinter speed versus football speed. That's cool, because I want my football speed, I want my running back to be able to accelerate fast. I want him to be able to get from point A to point B much faster And then he can take off and get once he's at his top speed. Because I want you to get through that second level quicker than a wide receiver would be able to get to the second. Because there is no second level for wide receiver if you're running a go route or whatever. I want my running back to be able to go from 0 to 60 much faster. And then he can get to his top speed and do whatever he does at the top of it, right? It's that, and if we're talking about Kedren Young, which I'm sure why this question is being asked, if you watch his film, watch how fast he goes from the line of scrimmage to 8 yards down the field. His speed is crazy. I love that. Now, his top speed, it's not elite. His top speed's not elite, but he gets to that top speed so fast, that's how he's able to run away from guys. And that's what I want from a from football speed. I want that 0 to 60, and how fast can you get there?
I also don't think that Kyren Williams looked fast on the field. He looked quick on the field.
And there's the difference. I
mean, he ran fast, like a 4.58 guy in college.
Right.
But this is my whole point. A 4.58 guy that's got 3 or 4 steps on you is not getting caught. I mean, like the North Carolina 90-yard run, him running a 4.58, he's not getting caught by any 4.4 guys unless they have a great angle on him. They're not catching him from behind unless they're right behind him. And so he's more quick than he is fast. I was not shocked by his 40 speed.
Oh, yeah,
I expected it to be high 4.5. That's what he looked like. He always had that. I mean, that was never a question. It's just I felt to be that size, he needed to be faster than that. And I did not give him enough credit for just the football player that he was. But to your point, Vince, there's a difference between a 4.4 guy on the track and a 4.4 guy on a football field.
Absolutely.
Because you're never running straight line all that often. So that 10 to 12 to 15, like most routes, you rarely run. I mean, other than a straight go route, you're hardly ever running on a straight line. And even then, you've got to avoid somebody. You know,
post routes, you're running
15 and then running a post. So I care if you're going to, if a burner in a post is not a guy that runs a 4.4, per se, it's a guy that runs a 4.4 because he's got great starts, because he's going to have a great start getting into that to his stem, and then he's going to have a great acceleration out of the top end of his route. That guy's going to get open. A 4.6 guy that's got that is going to get open faster than a 4.4 guy who has a slow start, or as fast as a guy that runs a 4.4 but is a slow starter and is a little tight in the hips, or really tight in the hips. My 4.6 guy is going to get open more on post routes because he's got great starts and he's got loose hips to get out of those top ends. He's going to be a better route runner and a better player than the 4.4 guy that's a slow starter and has tight hips. Now, ideally, the great ones are 4.4s. They're fast off the line and they're great. Jamar Chase, right? Yes, he's a 4.4, but he's also a 4.4 step one. He also is very flexible and loose hips, so he can run great routes. Justin Jefferson is another example. So that's why those guys are dominant as well. But who else is dominant? Devontae Adams, who's a 4.6, but also has those traits. Cooper Kupp, who's a 4.6 that does those things. There's a lot of different ways to do it. But at the end of the day, some 4.4 guys play football fast. Some don't, right? Miles Boykin never played, in my opinion, like a 4.43 or a 4.42 ever. Chase did. I wasn't shocked that Chase ran a low 4.4. I was floored that Miles Boykin ran a low 4.4. Notre Dame people kept telling me he was going to, because he did that in the – but I'm like, he played like a really athletic 4.5-ish, 6'4", 220-pound guy. That's still fast.
Right. Absolutely. Yeah.
But he never played like a 4.4-2 guy. Right. Chase did. Kevin Austin did at times. And so that's a really good question, Adam.
I love that one. Yeah. It's great. Amen.
Yep. I don't know if that one's for that. I accidentally clicked on that one.
No, I like, amen. Charles Lynch. If Scott Rushing, Beasley, Bronte, Lambert, Kingston, Minky, and Nelson commit and no one else, where would you rank this class?
I mean, I don't know who no one else is. I mean, that's kind of everybody. So you got Scott and Rushing. You got Beasley, Bronte. You got the second safety. You got the O-lineman. You got the tight end. I mean, everybody that we just mentioned, he said, where would I rank that class? That's a top three class, in my opinion. I don't care what the rankings say. That's a top three class. There's not going to be two classes that I would rank higher than that. That's an elite, elite class. I think the odds of them getting all those guys are slim, because I'll say this. If they get Rushing and Scott, I'm never saying a bad thing about Al Washington on the recruiting trail. I'll say ever, because I'm capable of that.
Things can change.
I'm going to go a full year or I'm going to vow, other than just disagreeing about a specific player, you won't hear me say a single critical word about Al Washington as a recruiter for an entire year. Because that, along with who they already have,
right,
is a gap erasing class. If you give me Rushing and Scott with Logan Thomas, with Cole Mullins, with Bryce Young, and with Sean Silvagnano, that is a gap erasing defensive line class. And especially when you compare it and when you combine it with last year's class. And then the class before that with Tyson Ford and Josh Burnham and Junior Tuilamaka and Aiden Gobira and Donovan Heinisch. Now all of a sudden Notre Dame's going to have one of the five most talented defensive lines in the country the next couple of years. I would argue that's true if they only get one of those two guys. That's how important those two guys are. But if they get both of them, you'll see me praising Al Washington to the high heavens, man. And I will literally go a year from that date when the second guy commits, and I won't say a bad word about Al Washington as a recruiter. Not at all. Not at all. That's how big that would be. I mean, that'd be
some serious closing.
That's an Alabama D-line class.
That's man. Mariano Rivera closing. Yeah, oh, God. You know what I mean? Like that's
bringing in Randy Johnson in the ninth inning of the world. Remember that when the Diamondbacks and Yankees played? Was it game seven or six?
Yeah.
Which game was they brought in Randy Johnson? I'm like, come on. You guys are just being jerks now at this point in time.
I believe it was game seven, but I could be wrong.
I'm gonna actually look
like 1998.
Up. Yeah,
I believe 98, 99, like in that.
No, it was
no,
it
2001. Was,
yeah, it was after 9/11. Yeah,
it was 2001. Yeah,
yeah. I'm gonna see this. I'm gonna see if I can find the box score of that. But it's just kind of like, okay, this is over. This is just silly. This is over. I'm gonna see if that was it, Vince. Yeah, you're correct. They brought him in for an inning and a third. So Schilling pitched seven and Schilling third.
Started it. Yeah.
Yep. And he had how that guy's not in the Hall of Fame is just ridiculously stupid. They brought in Miguel Batista to get an out in the eighth. And then to finish the eighth, they brought in Randy Johnson. And needless to say, the Yankees didn't do anything. And no. They won 3-2.
Yeah.
But I mean, think about this. You know who pitched for the Yankees in that game? Roger Clemens, Mike Stanton, and Mariano Rivera. And the Diamondbacks got two runs off of Mariano.
Oh yeah, that was the big. I remember it like it was yesterday.
One of them was only one of them was earned, but yeah.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I remember. Yeah.
That was it was wild, and that was after 9/11 and all that. Yeah, that was crazy.
And the Yankees lost. It was beautiful.
Yeah, all that right. was the best part about it.
Josh Buffo, the motivational business banker. If Al Golden does well and goes head coach or NFL, or does bad and gets let go, does Notre Dame hire from within and make Coach Mickens defensive coordinator for his recruiting ability and the fact that Marcus Freeman can help him?
There's no way they promote Mike Mickens because of his recruiting ability. None. If they promote Mike Mickens as defensive coordinator, And I'm not opposed to that. I don't know Coach Mickens' potential as a coordinator. I know he can coach the heck out of corners. Not every position coach is a great coordinator. I don't know. I'd have to study a little bit more and try to learn about what he would want to do and all that kind of stuff. But I know he's a great teacher and a recruiter. You do not promote a guy to coordinator because of his – Alabama did that with Tosh Lupow. Remember that one year they hired him away from somebody because the only way they could get him is to be the coordinator, and he was a disaster as a coordinator that year. You promote a guy to run your defense because he can run your defense like a champ. And Marcus Freeman's already spread pretty thin right now. He's traveling around the country. He's trying to recruit the whole class. Now you're going to throw on, he needs to help the defensive coordinator out.
The co-defensive coordinator? Yeah. And I'm not saying that Coach Mickens couldn't do it on his own. That's not the conversation we're having.
You don't hire him
knows that, yeah,
because of his recruiting ability.
Right.
If you promote Mike Mickens, which I'm not opposed to. I mean, to me, that's the best way to keep him here.
Right. Absolutely.
But he's got to be able to do the job. Absolutely. Now, what I could see also is maybe a co-coordinator role where you have a linebackers coach that's a co-coordinator with Coach Mickens. I could see that for sure. I would look into. Can Coach Mickens coach an entire defense? I don't know why he couldn't, because look how good he is as a corners coach. Look how good he is as a recruiter. but I can't say for sure that he would, because I just don't know enough about his. Because you can't just be, you just can't be knowledgeable of the corners to be a coordinator. Right. You got to be able to know right. all of it.
Absolutely.
And so I would just need to learn and study and maybe do some research on that. It wouldn't shock me. But if they make the move, Josh, and this is Vince's point, my point, it's because he can do that. You think he can do that job at a high level. Him being a great recruiter is just a bonus, in my opinion. So, yeah, it would be, it would have to be something like that. It would have to be. So, real quick on this question, Nathan Milton, which players at Irish Invasion do you hope Notre Dame lands? I wasn't there, so I can't speak too much on it. I'd like to see him get Chris Burgess. I'd like to see him get Blaine Bradford, who's a 2026 kid. Outside of that, I just haven't watched a lot of film of the other guys. I've seen a little bit of Derek Meadows. He very much intrigues me, the kid from Bishop Gorman. But since I wasn't there, it's kind of hard for me to have much sure. of an opinion on yeah. that. I apologize. But I do appreciate the super chat very, very much.
From Cleveland, C-V-L-E-N-G-O-8. Yes,
I have a difficult time with that one as well.
I'm sorry. I apologize that I didn't know what it was. Reading between the lines, Price doesn't seem to get mentioned a lot. Is there a big concern with the staff that he may need to medically retire?
No.
His injury.
First of all, we talked about him during the show.
Thing. Like, I mean, yeah. hopefully he's back and ready to go. Like, he could potentially play, but I've heard a lot of people talk that are saying he may not be like 100% for like 18 months. And if that's the case, you're talking after the season. So he's not going to medically retire, but he right. may not be 100% when the season
I also starts. Think the premise is incorrect, because we literally talked about him during the show. This show, we talked about him. But he was two classes ago. So we're going to talk about the most recent class. And that's why I said, like, you know, it's just not going to be part of a two classes away. We talked about him during the show. And every time we talk about the running backs for 2023, we talk about Jadarian Price. So I don't accept the premise, but no, there's no conversation about him medically retiring. The only question we ever have is, when will he be healthy? When will he be ready for this season? That's the only question mark. So I just don't accept the preference there, the premise there that he doesn't get mentioned a lot. We talk about Jadarian Price all the time. I literally during this show, we were talking about how I had him as a top 100 back and stuff like that. So I don't accept the premise there, but there's no concern for us. He'd have to medically retire. He'd have to have another. Because remember, Sean yeah. Crawford came back and played a ton of football for Notre Dame after two ACLs and an Achilles injury.
Sure. Absolutely. Absolutely. Irish Hightown, IB, do you think we should go out and get two new transfers, or should we extend them to, or he's talking about the two extra scholarships mm-hmm. that are out there right now, or extend them to two Ivy grad transfer walk-ons?
That would be the punter Krim, and then the Cole Aubrey kid is the edge rusher.
I don't want those to be the only two options though either. Yeah. Like I feel like there's guys on the roster that you could give a scholarship to. There's, you know, yeah, you could potentially look at the transfer portal, but how many guys are actually going to be there now in the middle of June that you're going to want for August? Like, I feel like it's a little picked over at the moment, so that's going to be a little bit tougher. So I think you probably end up looking at your current roster and who's there, right? And who you could extend those scholarships to that are already on your roster. Could it be the Ivy grad transfer guys? Could be. I mean,
yeah,
we'll see. What do you think?
Number one, the Ivy grad transfers are used to paying big bills because they're not on scholarship at the Ivy League school either. I still don't believe Ivies give out athletic scholarships, correct? I still don't
they
think
do not. They do. No, they don't. They give out academic, but not. Right.
Definitely not for football.
Yeah, no.
Definitely not for football. I would rather see it go to a kid who's been in the program for a long time. You know, I'd rather see it go to a Marty Auer, right? A kid who's a walk-on is going to maybe have a chance to play for you this year.
That kid could play some special teams. I like that kid a lot, a lot.
You know, I'd rather see it go to a Quinn Murphy, who may not play a lot for you in the offensive line this year, but that kid has been you don't see a whole lot of 4 or 5 year walk-on linemen you know, you just usually guys just will quit, or, you know, the something else will happen. Right. You know, that guy's been very much a model of kind of the type of young man you want to have. Honestly, Vince, I'd rather see go to a guy like that. I'd rather go to, you know, I'm trying to think of some other examples of guys who've been here a while, like Davis Sherwood's on. Not why is he still listed as a walk on?
I was going to say he's a scholarship. I thought.
Yeah, I don't know why I have an asterisk by his name as a walk on. I'm not sure about that. I'd rather see go to a Zach Yoakum, who's your starting kickoff guy.
Right.
I'd rather see go to a you know a, so, just some of those. One of those other guys that have been, you know, Eddie Scheidler, those guys that have been around the program for 4 or 5 years. I'd rather go to them or go to like a Luke Talich, you know, a walk-on who like, dude, he's eventually going to get a scholarship. Let's just lock him in now and not run the risk of him going somewhere else next year. You know what I mean? Those would be guys that I would rather have as opposed to, and that's no disrespect to Ben Krim. He's got a good shot to be the team's primary punter this year. It's absolutely no disrespect to Cole Aubrey, yep, who I expect to be a good special teams player this year. It's more about just looking at the guys that have been here a while and saying, those kids to me are who I would reward with that 1 year scholarship. I'd rather see one of those type of guys get it, or even Vince, a Justin Fisher, you know, if he's one of those special teams kids that's going to play for you, I think are the ones that to me deserve that more. And again, no disrespect to the Ivy Tree. I'm glad Ben Krim's coming. I'm so glad John Sott came last year.
Absolutely.
You know, I like what Cole Aubrey can potentially bring as a special teams guy. I'm just also a believer when it comes to walk on scholarships, either give it to a guy like Luke Talich, who is basically turning down scholarships to come play for you because he's a Division I football player, or for at least a year, let him walk on like he agreed to, give that scholarship to one of the older, you know, Quinn Murphy, Marty Auer, Eddie Scheidler, those type of walk-on kids, I think are just more deserving of it because they've been a part of this team. They've done everything they've been asked to do. And I'm leaving other guys that could be candidates off. I'm just saying, like, those are the ones that just kind of pop in my head a little bit, Vince, if that makes sense. So it's not like other guys aren't deserving of it. It's just those are the ones that, right, to me.
That's why I would turn towards your own roster and go from there. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Plus, you get great social media out of it. So
yeah, and it's great for team building too, right? I mean, because players want to see that stuff. Absolutely. They want to see.
Yes.
Now, hey, look, why am I here for 4 years? Well, number one, I love being part of this team. But number two, I know there's a chance that I could get a scholarship someday. You know, and parents don't have it. Even 1 year of not being on scholarship at Notre Dame is saving parents almost six figures. You know what I mean? So,
oh, no doubt about it. It's between $75,000 and $100,000. Like, I mean, it's legit a lot of money. So,
yeah.
It's only a kick. A jump, a block, it's only a serve, it's only a tackle, a run, it's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial, and with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown, and through adaptable problem solving, we do just that. Learn more at marines.com.
From Eric, Brian, what's y'all's opinion on the 247 recent mock draft having Joe Alt getting drafted 25th overall and the fourth offensive tackle taken? Well, that's a joke. That's hilarious.
I mean, I have a hard time believing that would happen. But I also would have, if you'd have told me a year ago Michael Mayer's going to put up the numbers he put up and not be a first round pick, I would have said you're out of your mind. The NFL is a weird deal. That's a premium position. I'd be shocked if he's first of all, I mean, if the fourth best tackle on the board gets drafted, he's probably not getting drafted 24th. I'm looking it up right now, Vince, but like this year,
like it would be higher, like there'd be more tackles that would
like
go.
This past year, the fourth offensive tackle got drafted at 27. It's a kid named Anton Harrison. He is not in the same category as Joe Wolt.
Yeah.
I mean, the fourth guy the year before was 19th. I mean, so it, unless it's just a bad tackle, I mean, the fourth guy in 2020 was 18th, or actually, excuse me, 13th. You know, could he be the fourth guy drafted in a year like we had in 2020? Remember that year, Vince, where there was like four guys and they were kind of all battling for that number one spot? It was like Andrew Thomas, Jedrick Wills, Mekhi Becton, and Tristan Wirfs.
Yep.
It was like some teams had other guys better. I still can't believe Mekhi. The Jets took Mekhi Becton over Tristan Wirfs. And it's worked out exactly how you would have predicted. One guy can't stay healthy and stay on the field, and the other guy's turned into an all-pro caliber offensive tackle.
Shocker.
And the all pros, not Mekhi Becton, but that's just the Jets being the Jets. But that was a year where it's like, you know, man, Andrew Thomas, you can't go wrong there. You can't go wrong with Jedrick Wills. You can't go wrong with Tristan Wirfs. And then there's the one guy that shouldn't have been drafted. But then, of course, Austin Jackson went like 18th or 19th that year too, the kid that for the Dolphins. So if it's a year like that, maybe. But the other part of this is it's 247.
Right.
Like I have a Vince, you know, I have a great deal of respect for like the Tims and what they do at Irish Illustrated. That's a different deal. That's guys that specialize in covering Notre Dame. They do a great job. That's why they come on. That's why we want them on our shows. That's why we consider them friends and we get along well with them because they do good work. I'm not talking about those guys.
Right.
I'm talking about the national stuff. They're becoming so much more. I think On3 has broke their brains. I do. Because Shannon Terry, who started On3, started Rivals, sold it, then started 247, sold it. And I think that as the further along they've gotten away from Shannon Terry, the worse it's getting because they're just handing the responsibilities over to people that just are lifers or people that shouldn't be. You know, like it went from Barton Simmons to who's running it now, and it's like, it's not the same dude. You know what I mean? Like, let's just say this. There's no Division I football teams are going to go look to hire the dudes running 247 now to come run their recruiting operations and be their GMs, right? Let's be real about that.
Right.
And so, I think they're now doing things for clicks and just hiring people who aren't qualified to do things that they're being asked to do. And they just put out bad content. I mean, same guy that did that, I'm sure, is the same guy that has Tanner Mordecai and Grayson McCall and Austin Reed as higher draft prospects than Sam Hartman. Like, so it's just
makes perfect sense.
We can continue to complain about how crappy what they do are, or we can just all assume that they suck from a national standpoint and just not paying attention to them anymore. And we'll all be happier that way.
Yep. Absolutely.
So, that's the way I look about it. They've become so irrelevant to me, Vince. Like, Rivals is going to pass them soon. And when it comes to, like the quality of the rankings, because Rivals is out there trying to hire people. They hired John Garcia. They're hiring some other people that you're like, yeah, that's a good hire, right? You know, like you're actually trying to hire people that have integrity and ability. And I don't see 247 doing that, to be completely honest with you. And if it wasn't for a couple of the guys that they have, like Greg Biggins and Brandon Huffman, who are actually still really good, if those guys ever leave, they are in really big trouble. Really big trouble. So I'd rather just stop talking about 247 altogether. Again, we're from a national standpoint. It's just it's getting to the point where it's just not worth our time anymore. It really is. It really is. All right, last couple, Vince, and we're gonna get up out of here. So we got three more, and then we got I got a prayer request here that I want to end things with. But let's go to Ray Holcraft.
All right, Ray, given what you know today and both teams stay healthy on both sides, that's key. What are Notre Dame's advantages and disadvantages against Ohio State?
Okay, advantages. I think that Notre Dame is going to have an advantage in their defensive line against Ohio State's offensive line. I think that Notre Dame, people are going to laugh at this. I actually like Notre Dame's pass catchers against Ohio State secondary. I'm not a big fan of Ohio State secondary. And I like what Notre Dame's going to do there. I think that's an advantage. Disadvantage, this offensive line needs to prove that it can play at a high level against that scheme plus talent. Here's the thing I'll say. Part of the reason Notre Dame was able to dominate Clemson's front seven, which is absolutely on the same par as Ohio State's talent-wise, if not better, is because Clemson just lined up and did what they do and made it easy for Notre Dame. Because right. then they're going to say, hey, we're as good as you or better, and we just go dominate. Jim Knowles is not that guy. That's not what hurt. No, Ohio State didn't just line up and say, our dudes are better than your dudes, and we're going to whip your butt all day. They had really good run stunts. They brought pressures from all over. They had really good delay schemes. It was first game of the year. And so there was some coaching involved to that butt whooping, as well as it was game one of Notre Dame's tenure. But the fact of the matter is they didn't play well against that type of team. They have to show that they can outplay Ohio State. So as of right now, you say it's at least advantage, you know, a wash, potentially advantage Ohio State, because it's basically the same guys coming back that played in that game. Because you can't say, well, you know, Notre Dame has to overcome Jarrett Patterson. They didn't have Jarrett Patterson in that game last year either, Vince.
Correct.
Right? You had Andrew. So four of your five starters in that game are back. And most of Ohio State's defensive linemen and linebackers, with the exception of like Zach Harrison and a couple backups, are back. So you got to prove that you can outplay them there, because they whooped your butt last year. Mm-hmm. So even though on paper, I like Notre Dame's offensive line against Ohio State's front seven, games aren't played on paper. We saw what Ohio State's front seven did with the scheme that Jim Knowles is going to run, which is a lot more complex than what the defensive coordinator at Clemson did, which is different than what Brent Venables did. So to me, they've got to be able to prove that. And then the secondary has to prove that they can not give up some of the big plays they gave up last year. I think the Notre Dame secondary matches up very well against Ohio State. But who are going to make the big plays? Last year, Ohio State's secondary made more big plays than the Notre Dame's – last year, Ohio State's receivers made the two huge plays for touchdowns and then some of the really clutch sideline grabs to move the chains on the real game, those two drives in the second half that turned a 10-7 Notre Dame lead into a 21-10 Ohio State lead. Right. It wasn't the Marvin Harrison going 50 yards for a touchdown. It was second and five, great coverage. CJ puts the ball on the sideline. They make great grabs, right? Notre Dame secondary says, okay, you're not going to make those plays this year. So as of right now, again, looking at last year, they made more of the big plays than the Notre Dame secondary did. Their defensive line outplayed Notre Dame's defensive line. So until those units can prove that they can outplay them, you have to go advantage there. I actually thought Notre Dame's defensive line outs. I didn't think Isaiah Foskey played well. I thought that Howard Cross played really well. Mm-hmm. I thought Riley Mills had a pretty good game that game. So I think that and then they lost. I mean, their three best offensive linemen are all gone. And I think and you say, well, Notre Dame lost Isaiah Foskey. He was terrible against Ohio State last year. Jason Adamiola was terrible against Ohio State. So the two guys Notre Dame lost were awful in that game. Everybody that played well is back. True. You know what I mean? So that's kind of where I look at that one, Vince. I think it's kind of a wash right now. I think anyone acting like they're going to just dominate Notre Dame is just a clown who doesn't know anything about Notre Dame. And I'm being very specific. People who in the chat know exactly what I'm talking about. But if I'm going to predict that game, Notre Dame's got to prove they can win games like that, right?
Absolutely.
If you're being objective, you have to look, say, the rosters, I think, are even. Ohio State has advantages in some areas. Notre Dame has advantages in other areas. If you have any clue of the both rosters, which I actually do know the opponent's roster and depth chart and can actually speak intelligently about the team that I don't cover. And so I will speak on it, whereas some people are just not smart enough or don't take their job serious enough to actually know who's on the other team to be able to speak intelligently about it. Those people shouldn't listen to.
Right.
Can Notre Dame beat Ohio State next year? Abso-freaking-lutely they can. But this is the exact game that Notre Dame hasn't won yet as a program outside of
– Yep.
Well, they haven't, because Clemson 2020 doesn't count to me as that type of win, because Trevor didn't play.
Yeah.
Because Tyler Davis didn't play, because Mike Jones didn't play.
Yep.
Last year Clemson was ranked high, but you and I both know that last year's Clemson team wasn't like 2018 Clemson, 2016 Clemson, 2019 right. Clemson even. And so this is still the game that they have to prove that they can win.
Mm-hmm.
And now, can they? Absolutely. They got to show it. But I think on paper, it's a pretty evenly matched game. There are some areas where Ohio State has the advantage. Notre Dame has the advantage of quarterback.
Absolutely.
I mean, if you're not going to agree to that, then you're just not an honest person and you don't know football. So, you know, it's going to be a good game. It's who has the best plan, who executes it, and then who makes the money plays.
Right.
That's going to be the key. So, yeah, I just threw a little bit more fire than I expected to throw on that one, Vince.
Yeah,
you did. Just kind of got to me. I think when you listen to the video, you'll understand where I'm
going. Yeah, I have a feeling you're right. Yeah, you're like, I'm talking about somebody very specific.
That's great. Yes. Yes. Yep. So we get the last couple here. Here's a quick one real quick. Cam Williams versus Michael Floyd is a prospect. It's Michael Floyd and it's not close. Michael Floyd was an exceptional prospect. Exceptional prospect. And he did what he did with a lot of injuries. Think about that. He lost chunks of two seasons at Notre Dame and still destroyed every pass receiving record in Notre Dame history with missing chunks of two seasons. All right, last question here, Vince. These two are going to kind of go together.
Okay.
So Gideon Rosa says, is the Clemson momentum legit or is it all about Sammy Brown? And then have this one from Brandon Plisner. You can read, Vince. It
says, Clemson is putting together a nice small class, especially at wide receiver. Just got TJ Moore, who is one of my favorite receivers. They're trending for Bryant Wesco. They've only sent out 59 offers in 24.
This has been an interesting strategy from Clemson. They don't offer a lot of people. And it's interesting, Vince. It's you put yourself in a situation where if you have misses, you're in trouble.
Yeah.
They are riding
Notre Dame with the running back that ended up at Clemson.
Yeah.
It ended up working out okay for Notre Dame in the long run, but yeah.
I like the class Clemson's putting together. They're building it slowly. They got two kids in the last couple of days. Got Sammy Brown as a big pickup. Sammy Brown to me is not a five-star right now, but he certainly has five-star talent. He's more of an athlete learning to play football plays football. He's a phenomenal athlete. His athleticism alone makes him a top 50 recruit. Then it's, can he learn how to play football? But he's a much better fit for what Clemson does than what Georgia does. I would argue. So I think he made a good decision there, and I understand why Georgia maybe didn't push for him. But I'll say this, man, he's got a lot of talent there. I'm with you, Brandon. I think TJ Moore's got a lot of ability. They got the Christian Betancourt kid from Illinois, is a pretty good tight end. They've got a couple good defensive linemen already so far. Champ Thompson's a good solid player, you know, good strong side end, could maybe move inside. Tavoy Fegan's a nice DB. Noah Dixon's a good DB from Georgia. They're putting a nice class together. There's an offensive lineman, Casey Poe, that they've made some moves with. The key is going to be they've got to continue to recruit quarterback better. And they went through a couple of years where they were down. I think they've started to recover. You got Cade Klubnik and Chris Vezina back-to-back years. That's important. Keep doing that and those skilled players will start to come. But I think TJ Moore is a big, tall, long kid that fits that system better than some of the other big, tall, long kids that were more like Bo Collins is a big physical guy. Joseph Ngata was a big physical guy, Vince. The big guys they had that had success were the big vertical guys, right. Mike Williams, T. Yeah. Higgins, Justin Ross. It wasn't the big possession guys. TJ Moore fits that big vertical player more than the big possession guy. So I think it's a good fit. No, I think Clemson's doing well. And we're going to do a show about this at some point in time over the summer. I'm just not sure when. We're going to talk about the programs that to me are ascending, that it's good for college football and good for Notre Dame that they're ascending. Clemson beating those schools for Sammy Brown is important because he's not going to Alabama. He's not going to Georgia. He's not going to LSU. You know, getting TJ Moore away from those schools. Florida State is going to start beating LSU and Bama and Georgia for kids. They already are starting to do that. That's good because when the talent starts getting spread out more, that means those top teams come down a little bit. And those teams aren't going to be taking a lot of players from Notre Dame. They're just not. And so I think that's good for college football, but I also think it's really good for Notre Dame. That look, you take 3-4 kids away from Bama and Georgia a year, as long as Notre Dame does what they're supposed to do, all of a sudden, that's also what have we always said, Vince? Closing the gap isn't just about you getting better, but you got to start taking kids that those other schools want.
Sure.
Because that means they don't get them.
Yep.
And that's an important piece to this.
Absolutely.
Very important piece of this. And then this last one, Vince, I'm gonna handle this one. This is from Irish for Life. Is a member of our board and has been on our channel forever. From the beginning. He's one of the OGs. Deals with a lot of physical pain and some different issues. And he says, please pray, Brian D. Please pray for me. My pain has been seriously bad, and I need to make another doctor appointment Thursday or 2 weeks after that. Thank you very much. Buddy, you absolutely have it. And I know this has been a rough go for you, especially the last year has been a really rough go for you, not just physically, but also personally. You will certainly be in my prayers today. You are often going to be in my prayers. And for those of you in our chat that are the believers in the power of prayer, like I am, I would ask that you lift up Irish for Life. He is, and you know, some of it he shares with us, but a lot of it you don't know about. And it's a rough life, and I don't envy him at all, but I love the fact that he's a part of our community and feels like he can come to us and ask us for that. So, buddy, you definitely have it. You definitely have my prayer. And I know that there's other people in our chat that will also lift you up in prayer. And when I say that, I've really tried to make it a pact, Vince, where I would say, hey, I'll pray for you, buddy. And then you just like, hey, I'm offering you prayers, but you really don't. I hope that when people say I'm going to pray for you, you actually make time to do it if you're someone who believes in the power of prayer, as I do. So lift up our good friend, Irish for Life, without question. So thanks, buddy. And I think that's a good way to end today's show, Vince. I think that's going to be the final question. First 4-hour show you and I have done in a very long time, buddy.
No doubt about it. But yeah. Always happy to be here. And make sure you tune in about an hour. It's going to be Tim Priester, Sean Stiers, Jesse Stiers, Ivy Nation Sports Talk. So make sure you go get some food. Come on back. Watch a little Ivy Nation Sports Talk tonight at 6 o'clock. Then make sure you hit that like button, hit the subscribe button, hit that notification bell, and make sure you share with your family and friends. Because the Ivy Nation Irish Breakdown Podcast, I'll get it right eventually. We're here every day, baby.
IB Nation, buddy. It's cool. It's
IB Nation. I got it right here. IB Nation. Got it right here on the shirt. And make sure you know what? Check out the merch store, too. All kinds of good stuff over there. I got some new shirts. I've been...
Got this on there. Got that on there.
Throwing them in
the
laundry, getting them all ready to go. Loving life. There. Absolutely. Yeah. We got all kinds of good stuff. I got my white hat back here somewhere, all kinds of
blue hat.
Oh, see, look at that.
Got the green hat.
Oh, there's the white one right
here.
Got
the gray hat. Whoop. You got the white hat.
Bam.
Yep.
It's good stuff, man. Yep. So there's good stuff on the merch store.
And this new distressed hat too, Vince. Have you seen these in the store now too? Uh-uh. Yeah. So it's one of those distressed. It doesn't look good on camera because of the way that my thing is, but, and I haven't quite fitted up yet, but it's a really nice one as well.
Very cool. Very cool. Yeah, so
there you go.
Thanks, everybody, for joining us. Really appreciate it. Brian will be back tomorrow at 1. Ivy Nation Sports Talk tonight at 6. We will talk to you next time on the Irish Breakdown Podcast.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile. And the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time. There's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.